B-Pod Studios.
.com. No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. Is it still Tropicana Field or whatever the hell it's called?
Yeah.
Still Tropicana Field in Tampa is in a crappy place of a dump of a town.
Terry Francona said it was made with Tinker Toys,
apparently impossible to get to. Tampa sucks as it is.
Was Tampa the place where the Twins twice hit the speaker and it robbed them of a home run? And
then yes.
It just happened recently, too.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Sano hit one off a speaker.
And the play-by-play guy, while going to commercial, was just like, just blow this place up.
Yep.
It's just, Tampa deserves nothing. In general, they've taken what could have been a Shangri-La and turned it into a place of alligator, putting heads into alligators and an Ybor City, which you get hepatitis just walking into. John Taylor writes for Sports Illustrated. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Taylor, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so... Tampa Bay has thrown it out there that they want to play the first couple months in Tampa Bay, and then they want to go to Montreal for a part of the season. All right, so Montreal, what's the situation there? Is there a plan to build a park? Why does Montreal want baseball back?
I mean, they lost it unfairly in the first place. I mean, it's a city that just had it more or less taken away by Bud Selig and just dumped in Washington. I know you can argue, you know, nobody was going to the games, but, I mean, the Expos, I'm sure you guys remember the Expos of the late 90s, early 2000s, just didn't have money and played in a broken-down stadium with ownership that didn't care, and at one point Major League Baseball was running them. So I think the idea is that if, you know, the Expos get kind of a fair shake, you'll see something closer to the 94 Expos, you know, with Pedro Martinez and Larry Walker and Randy Johnson were, you know, actually good. So I think there's a very big groundswell, and I follow plenty of people on Twitter who are from Montreal, you know, desperately want baseball back, but there isn't really kind of a concrete plan there as to how to get baseball back. You know, there's Steven Bronfman, who's the son of the original owner of the Expos and is a multimillionaire, maybe actually a billionaire, I'm not sure, but, you know, he has purchased land in the city that he says, you know, would be used for a stadium if it came to that, but there are no plans for a stadium. Any plans would have to go presumably through a referendum for voters. And I imagine that, you know, as to use public funding, and I imagine they would say no, because most cities and most local governments and most voters have realized that giving lots of money to teams to build stadiums is a pretty stupid use of money. So, I mean, there are a lot of reasons that this whole plan is just kind of stupid on its face. That's probably one of the bigger ones, is that you are asking, or that you need to rely on a city to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a stadium that's only going to get used 40 times in a season for a team that's not even going to be there a full year. I don't know how you get past that gigantic, like, logistical obstacle beyond all the other stuff that doesn't work about this plan, like, whatsoever.
How about the other thing, in that they will never get any free agents? Because what kind of person is going to move their family to a split city where, in the middle of the season, they've got to live in two different places?
And people care more about hockey than they do about baseball.
Well, I think you're better off in Montreal than you are slumming it in Tampa Bay. I'd want to spend my summers in Montreal.
I actually find the free agent part of that to be the least kind of big hurdle, because Tampa Bay never signs free agents anyway, so what does it really matter
if
players have a new excuse? But no, I mean, that is a really big part of it. I think you saw there were a few players and a few players' wives on Twitter last night and yesterday who said, this is ridiculous. Like, no player is going to want to sign up for, you know, two homes in two separate countries with two sets of taxes, two entirely different school systems, moving your family from Florida to Canada in the middle of the year, having to figure out work visas. And those are players who are making, you know, at minimum $500,000 a year. What about the team employees who are making a tenth of that? You know, right. All of a sudden they now have to move halfway through the season to an entirely different country. No one is going to go for that. You know, it's, again, there is just so much about this that is just plain stupid that I don't really understand how there's, it's just silly. There's just nothing about it that would work for anyone involved.
Is there some sort of legal reason they can't just take the team away from Tampa.
Yes, there is.
Okay, what is that reason?
They're stuck to a lease for another 9 years.
I mean, but
they are. The city of St. Petersburg won't let them leave because there's an agreement for the Rays to stay in Tropicana Field until either 2027 or 2028. I can't remember which. And the mayor's already said, no, you're not leaving.
Yeah, the mayor was real quick yesterday. It's 2028.
What a disaster.
Yeah the mayor, Pegleg Pete.
And they're like the second, like worst drawing, I think, only behind Miami. I mean, there's been photos. Every time you turn on, like, a game where the Red Sox are playing there, even when the Red Sox are in town, which are a big draw, like, all over the country, like, there's nobody at those games. It just, why not do Nashville? Wouldn't that make more sense?
Well, listen, what is the chance of expansion and Montreal gets a team if there is expansion?
I'd say pretty high. I mean, if nothing else, they already have facilities. As broken down as Olympic Stadium is, it's already there at the very least. You know, that is a point in their, I guess, a small point in their favor. People want baseball back. I think Rob Manfred realizes that people there want baseball back. It's a pretty large city, at least in terms of the immediate metro population. There's only one team in Canada, so that's a pretty, you know, a pretty viable market, I would think. I'd say it's probably up there. I mean, you have Nashville, obviously, as a possibility. Portland, I think, would probably be top of the list, if not, you know, or top five, if not top of the list. Vegas has a lot of weirdness that you'd have to figure out.
Yeah, could you
Mexico City, I imagine, too, would be in there somewhere.
Oh, Mexico City, my lord.
What a dump.
Oh, boy, that's a whole situation.
I mean, the whole situation there mostly is that it's like 7,000 feet above sea level. It would make Coors look like the polo grounds. It would just be 10,000 home runs at night. So.
Yeah, and plus the security and everything else that goes along with that. Well, in Portland, that doesn't seem like – are you in favor of a team in Portland?
Sure, why not? I mean, I don't necessarily know if expansion is something baseball needs to do. I mean, they've got enough other issues that they have to figure out. And the other thing is once you bring expansion onto the table, you're either talking – well, I guess, no, it's not relocation because that's something different. But once you bring expansion onto the table, then you're talking about a totally huge realignment of divisions of the AL and NL. I mean, maybe that's a good thing because maybe that brings you to balanced scheduling and not the weirdness you have now, you know, where you play one team 19 times and another 3 times,
right,
which has never really made any sense to me. But that is something that would have to happen, which is a complicated thing, and I don't know how other teams would necessarily feel about that. You know, I don't know how things would have to be rearranged if it's Portland and, say, Montreal that get teams, and now you have it's complicated. So I don't necessarily know it's something that nobody needs to do. But it's always something MLB wants to do because every new team that comes into the league is an extra, what, $500 million to the pockets of the owners in terms of expansion fees and all that stuff. So it's always going to be there. I just don't think it's something we're going to see for at least, I don't know, 4 or 5 years probably.
All right, well, we can all agree Tampa Bay doesn't deserve a team, and that's all that matters. John Taylor, Sports Illustrated, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, see you, man.
Montreal... honestly, no one was going to the games when they were good. I mean, they were averaging, I looked it up last night, they were averaging about 20 or 22,000 fans a game when they were really good in the early 90s, when a strike cost them a chance to go, that Felipe Alou team with Pedro and Larry Walker and John Wetland and all those guys. They weren't drawing fans then, and they might have corporate support, they might get themselves a new building built, but baseball has gotten less popular instead of more popular, and you're trying to get baseball into a hockey-crazed area. I don't understand how that works. It's romantic. Oh, let's bring the Expos back. I get it, but how much can that really support a baseball team?
If they're hungry for moving a franchise somewhere, I'm not kidding. Nashville has proven time and time again that they can fill stadiums. I mean, the Predators have sold out every single year they've been there, which is crazy for a southern town to end up having all that many hockey fans. On top of that, you've always got the Tennessee Titans. They do well. I mean, I think they sell out all their games, and they have a minor league team, I forget what the name of it is, that sells out every single one of their games, a minor league baseball team. So, I mean, it almost seems like that would be ground zero to have another franchise. They do it right in Nashville. And also, it's a place where people like to go to see an away game. It's like a destination city.
Well, you get that stupid Vanderbilt Whistler, though. He has to come out to all the games. You know that Vanderbilt Whistler?
No.
No.
Oh, he's in Omaha. and they're trying to kick him out of the stadiums. He just sits there whistling like a lunatic the entire game.
Really? Oh, the College World Series thing?
Yes.
Okay, well, yeah. I didn't know that was his name, but I mean, it's annoying.
Yeah, he's the Vanderbilt whistler.
I didn't know that was
him. And then he's like, what are they going to do? I'm just whistling. That's what he loves to do. All right, so we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Tutcher and Rick. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is this CNC Music Factory?
I seen her in the subway on my way to Brooklyn. Hello, good looking.
This guy wishes he was Freedom Williams.
No, he's actually about 80 million times better than Freedom Williams.
No one is 80 million times.
This is Eric B.
Yeah, as I said, not as good as Freedom Williams.
Is it because you shine, don't talk a lot? She turned away, no play. I said, okay, you don't really look good. I hope you have a bad day.
So are you wearing your like, frilly white linen shirt?
No, this is trunk jewels. This is wearing a nice gold rope.
Did you have the leather Africa thing that around your neck? Did you ever wear one of those?
No.
You weren't part of the Zulu Nation?
No. I was more Levert than Zulu Nation.
He was more like he wasn't with Tribe Called Quest.
No.
Stetsasonic and those guys. He was more of a lover man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was Calling Me Bad puffy shirt guy. That's what I was.
This was your speed right there.
I saw Levert in concert, guys.
This actually brings back like good memories of being at like the swim club. Woodbrook. Oh yeah.
Memorial,
Woodbrook. How you doing? This rhythm is just from slow making love. I'll tell you. Like watch. Thrust. Release.
He's talking about freaking you.
Thrust. Yeah. Release. Maybe we're taking it slow today.
Who's this? Oh, come on! Even I knew this!
It's too much pressure!
It's Jodeci!
Yes!
Are you kidding me?
That's right, it's Jodeci.
How do you not know Jodeci?
Thank you.
Ew, I hate this song.
Who is that one? John!
I'm drawing a complete blank.
Oh my God, you suck!
What a
I know,
poser.
Today I do. Today I do suck.
Take people.
Hang on.
They even played this at like,
Casey
the
and JoJo.
Yeah, Casey and JoJo. You're
yeah, that's like a dentist office R&B song.
Yeah, how did you not know that?
I don't know. I'm tensing up here. I don't know. Maybe it's the end of the week. Maybe I just don't care. All for one.
No.
All for one. All for one was interesting in that everyone in the
high
group
five.
Was ugly.
That wasn't high five?
I don't know.
Like, they didn't even try with All For One. They're just like, everyone's going to be sort of fat.
No, I'm completely spacing on this stuff.
That's
today.
Guy.
Let's Chill is Guy?
Yes, it's Guy.
All right. If you played Merry-Go-Round of Love, I would have had it.
Who was in Guy?
Teddy Riley was in Guy.
That's right.
Teddy All Riley. For One.
Aaron Hall, lead singer of Guy.
Ew.
No.
That's All For One.
That's All For One. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
If you had played Kissing Game, I like the way I would have had that.
From
here
Guy?
Here we go. Yeah, here. No, that's not Guy. If you had played, that's High Five. If you had played Portrait, Here We Go Again, I would have known that. There it is. Yeah, there it is.
Don't think I didn't have that on the ready.
I'm surprised. So Anxious by Genuine, I would have been on it.
All right, there's someone. Okay.
What's that? What?
There was someone on hold, and Bert was looking out the window. There was nothing.
So what's that hole? There's nothing there.
He's trying to get Keith.
Okay.
Which I didn't ask him to do. But Rich, you guys don't see it, and it's bad for the radio. But there's a call on hold. He put him on hold, and he's just gap mouth staring out the window. Because it could have been something funny about the R&B stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Well, now that I look, there's someone who wants to crap on me, and I don't get enough. So maybe we should take that.
Okay. All right, Chris, go ahead.
Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So Nashville, a team in Nashville isn't going to work unless you build a dome. And who wants to watch baseball in the dome?
Retractable roof could work.
Yep.
Dude, that's garbage. That's garbage.
Retractable roof is garbage?
I mean, they have
How many major league teams have it now?
I mean, how many professional franchises have
the NFL? Retractable roof, Seattle, Toronto. I mean, there are a bunch of teams.
Milwaukee,
sure.
Atlanta?
All lousy cities.
Seattle is not a lousy city. Toronto isn't either, by the way.
Seattle is dying. You have more homeless than baseball fans.
Have you been to San Francisco recently?
Aren't they getting a hockey team?
Yes, Seattle is getting a hockey team.
I don't think in the next two years.
But basically, my point is, it's just too hot in Nashville. It's 2 degrees in August. Nobody's going to sit outside.
What is it in Tampa? And I know they have a roof, but that place sucks.
No, you'd have to have a retractable roof. He's absolutely right. I mean, you couldn't have the stadium.
Whoever built the Rangers learned that lesson. I mean,
the Rangers were idiots.
Okay, so the Rangers, it's the worst because they would have like day games sometimes. And even when it was during the summer and first pitch would be at like 7 o'clock, there was an entire outfield that is getting cooked. Like it would be a 100-degree day. As a matter of fact, 100-degree days are almost on the average in July, August, and the beginning of September.
Which is why they never have afternoon home games in July and August. Every game starts at 7 o'clock local time.
But even those like days that are it hits 100, it's still about 90 when it's 7 o'clock
right.
first pitch.
Right.
And if you're in the outfield where the sun shoots down, you are cooked. Absolute toast. So he's right about that. And they've had to kind of, unfortunately, they made a very expensive mistake because they're going to have to completely redo that. When does that new stadium open? Are they just, they're putting a roof on it or how?
No, they're not putting a roof on it. I think they're building a new stadium.
Yeah. So they'll be doing
it. If they did have a team in Nashville, there's no question it had to be a retractable roof.
And I don't think they would shy away from doing that. Okay. I want to get to the story because we yesterday talked about how the prosecutor from the Dominican Republic came out with this whole David Ortiz thing and concocted, in our opinion, an utterly ridiculous story about how David Ortiz was not the intended target. It was this other guy who was sitting at the table with him. What was his name? Like David Fernandez? Yeah, Sixto. Sixto David Fernandez was his name, and it was the person sitting at the table, and there was this whole deal about a guy got a picture, and they were wearing different colored pants, and so they shot the wrong guy, which we all know is complete and utter BS.
Yep.
There was an article that was written in the Globe, and I've seen it everywhere, where they talk to people in the Dominican Republic, and they're like, who the hell doesn't know who David Ortiz is? So there's an article that came out today in the Boston Globe that is titled, Intended Target in David Ortiz Shooting Said He Had No Idea People Wanted to Kill Him. So days before Dominican officials identified Sixto David Fernandez as the intended target of a shooting that wounded David Ortiz, the friend of the retired Red Sox legend was aware of rumors linking him to the attack and publicly denied them. Fernandez, who was with Ortiz, said that he has no enemies, not even a cat. He told the station, he did a radio interview, that he was blindsided by the notion that hired assassins would target him. Quote, I'm just a businessman. I have a garage shop.
Ortiz spent $80,000 on a car for a drug kingpin's wife who then flocked to the hospital when David Ortiz was in there and got in a fight with the family. I mean, what are we talking
and
about
here? The explanation was that his brother ended up ratting on this drug lord 9 years ago.
Yeah, and you know what is going to work? Ratting on a drug lord in the Dominican Republic. Like, they can't get at him sooner.
Okay, so this is great. The authorities' announcement Wednesday that the gunman had mistakenly shot Ortiz was met with skepticism by Dominicans and close observers of the case who noted Fernandez bears little resemblance to Ortiz, one of the most recognizable people in the country. Fernandez, in his radio interview last week, foreshadowed that commentary, telling the station, quote, logic exists. David and I are two very different people physically.
David Ortiz spent $80,000 on a car for a drug kingpin's woman, and the drug kingpin's woman flocked to the hospital and got in a fight with his family. Everyone's going to forget about this story because when David Ortiz gets out of the hospital, and you'll see nothing's going to happen to anyone. There will be like some sacrificial guy that they put in jail. This drug kingpin, this thing's a circus. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that anyone that serves any time in this is so not involved, that it's insane.
And it gets even more weird. So on top of everything, like you, the prosecutors and these people completely, in my opinion, making up ridiculous stories. Also, apparently there were two police that were involved that got paid off. So who do you trust? Do you trust the government? Do you trust the cops that are down there? Well, now there's all of these tourists who are dying down in the Dominican Republic. And this is just fantastic because for a couple of weeks now, they've been holding on to the autopsy reports as to why these people died at these luxury resorts. Well, this is a brand new report that just came out. An official with the Dominican Republic of Ministry of Public Health is adamantly claiming that there were no mysterious circumstances around the deaths of a Maryland couple who were found dead in their hotel room last month. The Ministry of Public Health spokesman told Fox News that following Edward Nathaniel Holmes' death on May 30th, his fiancée, Cynthia Ann Day, died merely, quote, from the shock of seeing the person beside her dead.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
So what they're saying is her husband died, or future husband, and she got so freaked out by it that she died.
It's like the same thing as riding the roller coaster, Aerosmith roller coaster.
Right, it's just so intense.
It blows you away. It's so intense that you die.
And then it said, okay, so the spokesman argued that the engaged pair, who, quote, reportedly had high blood pressure medication in the hotel room, exhibited, quote, a lot of medical conditions, which increased their risk while traveling. Here's what the official statement was. They had a lot of medical conditions. There were many bottles of prescription medication in their room. They practically carried around a pharmacy with them. This is something you're saying about someone who died tragically.
By the way, then anyone over the age of 60, obviously, is on the verge of death.
Oh, totally. They had, and by the way, they're just spilling out everything. They had pills for blood pressure, for the heart. They had antidepressants.
Oh, Jesus. Antidepressants? So there are like 1 billion other people on the planet?
When you get on an airplane and travel with that medical baggage, this can happen.
Yeah, right. If you take a Zoloft, I'll tell you this, is you better not fly because it's overwhelming. What the hell are they talking about? They had antidepressants. Well, wouldn't that make him less likely to die?
So he died of antidepressants, and then when she found him, she freaked out so much that her heart exploded, and she died too, apparently.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny about some insurance? If you get life insurance, they punish you for taking antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, wouldn't you be, like, a lot more certain about
less likely to
because it's the threat of suicide, but
right.
wouldn't you be far less likely if medicated not to commit suicide?
So the spokesperson was asked about, well, okay, that's understandable about these two, but what about everyone else who's died in the past 2 weeks? And this was the answer. Quote, it's all hysteria against the Dominican Republic to hurt our tourism. This is a very competitive industry, and we get millions of tourists. We are a popular destination. People are taking aim at us.
Yeah, the other people had a lot of aspirin.
So they were
why dying. Anyone would go to the Dominican Republic for, like, ever. After hearing what's gone on over the past, like, couple of weeks, you would have to have your head examined.
I mean, there's plenty of places to go. I mean, the Caribbean's a big place.
Yes.
Lots of nice islands. There's no reason that you got to go there. All right. Well, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, there's another rally and an online petition to cancel a show. However, they petitioned to cancel the wrong show by accident because they didn't really think too much while making out this online petition. And we also have some reviews, the new films that are coming out, and people are growing horns.
I am. That's right. I saw that. I am seeing The Secret Life of Pets, too.
Kids just went to see that 2 days
why
ago.
Would you see that when Toy Story 4 is out?
Honestly. I don't know.
Like, I mean, one is the Transformers and one is GoBots.
And Kroll's in it?
Like, one is, like, Johnny Depp and the other one's Richard Grieco.
Sure.
There's one that's, you know.
Right. I might go Grieco right now over Depp. After that cologne commercial he's got going.
That's a good point.
Where he goes into the desert.
He's Captain Bangles. The dude's got like jingly jangle bangles.
Yeah, but he goes and, like, he digs in the sand and pulls out this, like, sweet necklace. And then he's like, he needs money so bad. He's doing that dumb commercial.
Not according to him. According to him, he's fine.
Yeah. I heard he's drinking like $10,000 of wine a day and like all this shenanigans.
Nah, he's fine. He'll be good.
All right. Well, he does, you know, no money's coming in. He hasn't been any blockbusters.
Right.
All right. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, it's now official. Pass interference calls and no calls are now reviewable in the NFL, but the 2019 season will essentially be a trial run for the new changes. So the NFL Competition Committee yesterday announced that it was approved for that discussion they were having in March, whether this was going to actually be done and or it was just like something that was thrown out there to see if it would stick against the wall. But it looks like it's just going to last for the remainder of this season. Obviously, if they like it, they will continue, but it's going to allow the replay official to stop the game during the final 2 minutes of each half and overtime when it is determined that there is, quote, clear and obvious visual evidence that a pass interference foul may or may not have occurred. There's already been talk that the competition committee fears, quote, some unintended consequences that the replay expansion is going to create. So it makes sense that they're just going to say, you know what, let's just do it for the 16-game season in the playoffs and see how it works.
Something. What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
They make the games longer. I've often said that. If you could just extend the game longer. A game where the ball's in play for about one-tenth of the entire time, why not make it even longer?
Well, a story that I thought
If you think about football rationally, like, it's really boring. Like, it's not, strangely, because if you think about it, it's just dead space. And about every minute, something happens.
You know what? That's the one good thing about watching it on TV, though, is there really isn't a lot of dead space. Because during that dead space, they'll show a replay, and you'll kind of get to see in slow motion what just happened.
Right. Still a replay. It's not live action.
It is.
And people complain about baseball, but baseball, at least something's happening.
Because no one wants to see a replay of a pitch, really, other than whether it hit the box. Is it in an imaginary box? Was it truly a strike?
You got a guy who works fast. You're in and out of there.
Well, this is a story that I thought was utterly ridiculous when it came out, that I just barely mentioned it, and I just said, the only reason I'm talking about it is because for some reason the internet went crazy. But now it seems, believe it or not, that there might be some legitimate truth to it. So remember when Justin Bieber wanted to fight Tom Cruise in the octagon and he tweeted it out, he challenged him, and all of a sudden all these people like Conor McGregor are saying, hey, I'll fund the fight and all this stuff. Well, apparently there was a secret phone call that has laid the groundwork for this happening. You know, he tweeted it out and Tom never really responded. But last Friday, Ari Emanuel, who is the CEO of the William Morris agency that owns the UFC, called Justin's manager, Scooter Braun, and then conferenced in Dana White. Ari said that this would be a great fight that needed to happen, and Dana White chimed in and said that he was 100% down with it. And we're told that Scooter then made it clear Justin would absolutely fight if Tom wanted to do it. And there's more. During the call, Ari said that he strongly believed that Tom Cruise would agree to enter the octagon and take on Justin Bieber. Dana White said earlier this week that the fight's a no-brainer. It's going to be the easiest event he's ever promoted in his career if it does indeed happening. So everybody outside of Tom Cruise has agreed to it.
So everyone that's not important at all.
Right. Justin Bieber's worth zillions of dollars.
No, no.
He does not need this.
You need Tom Cruise to say yes.
Now,
that's the thing.
So I don't know if Tom Cruise is... His agency is William Morris. I know they represent a million people. But this is the head of William Morris saying that he believes Tom Cruise would agree to do it. It has not been confirmed. I don't know if that's his agent. If it is, that puts a lot more credence into the story. But a phone call has been made. One side and Dana White have agreed to do this.
Dana White agreed to do it. That's a shock.
Yeah, I know. Because obviously it would make
two of the most famous people on the planet.
But I mean, do you think if they did this fight, they could make, Tom Cruise could make more money than he's made from any of his films?
No.
No.
I don't know, man.
No.
Okay.
By the way,
think about the pay-per-views for the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
You're telling me
Mayweather made
hold on
how many million?
You're telling me that this fight is going to garner more money, more buys than that one? Not a chance.
Are you kidding me?
No, no.
Justin Bieber versus Tom Cruise.
No,
in the UFC.
You had two fighters who
chicks
knew what they
want
were
to
doing.
See that.
I don't
think about all of Bieber's fans.
No, I don't.
They would pay to see it. All of us, we'd want to see that. Hell yeah, you'd want to see it.
All right.
Okay. Do you think that my wife would want to sit down and watch Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather?
I see. I think very highly of your wife, and I think, no, she wouldn't want to see that.
In a second, she'd want to see Justin Bieber versus Tom
Cruise. That's a
Tom
black mark on a previously spotless resume.
Nothing will ever go.
Would your wife want to see that?
Nothing will ever eclipse Bonaducci versus Dustin Diamond.
Oh, sure.
But would my wife want to see it? Probably.
Yes.
Do you think...
Dude, this would be massive.
More... Just put
I
that
know,
aside
but it would
for
suck.
A it would.
But
there's nothing worse than like amateur garbage. Like celebrity yeah. boxing and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that wouldn't be a good fight to watch.
And everyone gets all tired after like 2 seconds.
What was Mayweather's payday for that fight?
Oh, $250 million?
Suffice it to say, they would make a lot of money.
But the question is, how badly does the UFC need this?
Justin Bieber has 114 million followers on Instagram.
How badly does the UFC need this fight to happen?
This is like a dream.
Dude, Floyd Mayweather made, I just looked. He made $275 million for that one fight.
Yeah,
$250 million.
Tom Cruise could make more money doing this fight than any one of his films. And the dude hasn't been making hits lately, if you've checked. Guy was in The Mummy. That thing was a bomb.
Well, he can always ride the Mission Impossible fortune.
Well, you could just slam like Scientology juice on him.
Mm-hmm. Scientology juice?
Yeah.
Just like, is that what it is?
Yeah, he's Scientology. Then he's like caught up in a web of Scientology.
I think that if for some reason they agreed to do it, I think you're completely underestimating the amount of buys this thing would get.
I don't think.
I'm sure. No, it would be huge.
It would be.
I'm cynical about Tom Cruise and doing a Danny Bonaducci style stunt.
There would be something so stupid though that beforehand they would kind of work out where they would punch each other a few times, but there would really be nothing that would truly hurt either one of
don't
them.
Don't touch
sure.
the hair.
No, sure. Like, there'd be rules that they would have, like, you can't trip them, you can't get them on the
so
ground.
So just put them in a boxing ring with headgear if you're that worried
well,
about
I mean,
it.
Those are so boring.
See, what they'll do is they'll announce it as a UFC fight, and everyone will get all excited. And then they'll start hedging their bets by putting these rules in there that would do that. But I'm a sucker. I like the spectacle. Listen, I would still watch it.
Listen, Donald Trump is president. I mean, if you would have thought that 10 years ago, anything can happen.
Well, I know something Fred would not pay to see, and that is a Van Halen reunion, because you ended up seeing, what's his name, David Lee Roth when he got back. And
I've been watching, like, there's this on YouTube, there's the full 1981 concert, which I've been watching. They're good.
Well, Michael Anthony, the bass player with the killer voice, he was the secret weapon of Van Halen. He came out and did an interview saying, yeah, they were trying to plan a reunion for this summer. And he said, for whatever reason, I was never, or my people were never, got in touch with us about any kind of contract or any kind of meeting to discuss it. Next thing I knew, the plug got pulled on it. He said, I had spoken with Van Halen's manager last October. That's when I first heard of it. And he said, would you be interested in any kind of reunion? I said, yeah. He said, I was finishing up a couple of shows with Sammy. I said, I'd be interested to hear what you guys have going on. And then he said, I never got a call back after that. And then blah, 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 blah. So it was indeed something that was discussed, but then it never ended up coming to fruition.
Well, if you watch one of these old shows, Michael Anthony's more than the secret weapon. Michael Anthony's singing half the song.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had Dave to cover up like, for Dave. He was so
Dave
drunk.
Dave was, like, running around and, like, jumping and not singing. So, like, he's singing, like, everything.
Yep.
Michael Anthony's the only guy singing a lot. Because I'm convinced they don't have Eddie Van Halen's mic on.
If you want to see an extremely funny video, there's one of the new guitarist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I forget what his name is. It's Josh something. It's not Frusciante. And there's a video compilation of all the times that he sang Anthony Kiedis' parts because Anthony Kiedis either couldn't sing or refused to sing.
Well, can you imagine if the Red Hot Chili Peppers had a different singer? Like, how great they would have been?
Well, you see, he was perfect when they started. Like, all the way up through Blood Sugar Sex Magik, he was perfect. Because he was like a rapper almost. Like, he just kind of rapped and yelled, and he had the look, and he went nuts on stage. But once Rick Rubin sat him down and said, dude, you're going to actually sing harmony? Oh, toilet.
Is there a worse lead singer of a iconic band than Anthony Kiedis? You dwell on that. You put that in your mind and we'll come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Join this show and Mark Gemelli at the only time you'll be able to hang out with the whole show. Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. at Hurricanes. I guess that's redundant. At Hurricanes at the Garden, it's a private party, 21 and up. $25 to get in, but $5 from every ticket goes to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And everyone gets a Toucher and Rich t-shirt. Meatballs in Manhattan all over the place, thanks to Devil's River Whiskey. Someone's going to go home with a new recliner because that's Mark Gemelli. He's going to be singing with the Ron Poster Trio to buy tickets. We're at about 200 right now. If to get tickets, go to 98.5thesportshub.com. Hopefully this sells out.
That would be nice. We would like to raise as much money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and also to more people to drink with. I am jealous of Nick and Bird. They're going to the Encore thing today. Mm. They showed a thing on the news this morning. So they've got the guy, you know, so the person from the news was showing the inside of it. And Jim Murray went last night and on Twitter. He said it was great. And he said, but by the way, the parking thing, he said, is no joke. Like, take public transportation. Like, it's going, you do not want to attempt to park there. Make sure you do that.
But when they park in Bird's yard.
Well, what I'm saying is, well, they're showing it on the news this morning. You know, the guy is walking through and they're inside and it looks exactly like the one in Vegas. I mean, it is as nice as it gets. And you see him walking and like, wow, this is going to be like a palace. And then he walks out into the balcony and it starts off with like the camera low. And you see this like amazing grass and these. And then it butts up and it's the turbine and it's like the smokestack. And it kind of is one of those things like you're having a great dream. And then someone shakes you like, whoa. And you're sitting there and you're like, you know, freezing cold.
And you go, oh, it's Everett.
And then, Fred, you had I don't even know if you meant to do this, but you had a brilliant theory. And the reason they put this palace in the middle of Everett might be it's to keep you inside gambling because it's almost like Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
You don't want to go outside.
I will say this for that casino. Once you're in, you're in.
You're right.
You ain't leaving that thing.
You want to stay inside this palace, and you know they got you spending money now.
Yeah, it's not like Vegas. There's not another casino to walk to. You're in that casino.
Fred, you were wondering why they put it there, and especially with a company that spends millions upon millions of dollars in marketing and trying to figure this out in research. Dude, that's exactly why.
Yeah, no, because Everett was the only town that said, sure.
No, I think it's because they said, where can be a place when they walk outside, they're like, nope, and they go right back in.
So this isn't a first step towards future infrastructure and things. This is just, we're putting this here, standalone,
baby.
And
I'm sure there's someone at the Encore just like, all right, Everett, here's some money to like refurbish that. Just don't do it within like a half mile radius. We want the bird's eye view when you walk outside to make people go, egads, and then immediately walk back in.
See, I thought that they had spent years and years and years trying to convince anyone. Then eventually they just went, all right.
But it opens up Sunday, I think, Sunday morning. And Bird's going to go there today, give us a report. Nick's going to go there today as well.
All right, well, Ted Johnson's here. Hardy, apparently not.
He's here. He's in the back. What's up, guys? How we doing?
Did you meet Kiefer this morning? Did you get to see Kiefer's name?
I didn't get a chance to meet him. How was that interview? I missed it, unfortunately.
He was great. He's one of the all-time guys that just by looking at what he's done like when he's out and about, you'd love to like hang out and have a beer with. He's the guy who tackled a Christmas tree because he thought it had it coming. There's that photo of him at the karaoke. He told us the story about how a friend of his was doing karaoke and he just like got naked behind him just to screw up his whole night. And there's a picture of him sitting in a booth with no pants on.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. You guys do great jobs interviewing those types of celebrities. I was on, you were out of town. I got to be on with Fred and Bob Saget was in studio. And I came away with, like, the best impression for that guy. Just the coolest, most down-home guy.
Saget's great. Yeah,
no, he was great. So that's cool. Unfortunately, I missed that. I'll have to go back and listen to it. So.
Fred, you got completely screwed. Did he leave? Is he gone?
Yeah, see, bird. Yeah, well. It's your fault.
He didn't get a picture with him. He wanted to.
I could have, but then I said, nah, and then I said, maybe I should.
And for the record, I'm with you, Rich, on the pay-per-view. I would love to see Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber.
Oh, totally.
I would pay. I'd pay whatever, the $80 it costs to see that. I would, man. And I know it sounds crazy, but just, honestly, these are two like celebrity iconic figures that are just kind of weird and out there. and to see them in that venue, in that ring, I think it would just be. I think it would be phenomenal
for about 30 seconds.
Maybe.
And then you'd get bored and say, I just spent $90 for this.
But I want to see who's tougher at the end of the day. I'd want to see who's got the guts to hang in there and finish the other guy off. Man.
Team Maverick.
Yeah, Team Maverick. I'm thinking so, too.
As long as he wears jeans. All right, you guys have a good time.
All right, we'll do, boys. Have a good weekend.
Everyone have a good weekend. They'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.